You know, I know y'all get on about sometimes burn the book, burn the book. It's bad when I'm sitting there by my wife and said, what do you think about this joke? And she said the other day, burn the book. I said, well, that's that's not encouraging. I don't think I'll say that one ever again. But here's one, because this fits in perfect with the message today. A pastor went to his church office one Monday morning and discovered a dead mule in the churchyard. He telephoned the police, and since there did not appear to be any foul play, the police referred the pastor to the health department. They explained that since there was no health threat, you'll need to call the sanitation department. When the pastor called the sanitation department, the manager of the sanitation department said, I can't pick up that dead mule without authorization from the mayor. The pastor was not all too eager to call the mayor, who possessed a very bad temper, was always extremely unpleasant and hard to deal with. But eventually, the pastor called the mayor anyway. The mayor did not disappoint the pastor. The mayor immediately began to rant and rave. After he continued his rant to the pastor, the mayor finally said, why did you call me anyway? Isn't it your job to bury the dead? The pastor paused for a brief prayer and asked the Lord to direct his response. The Lord led the pastor to say these words. He said, yes, mayor, it's my job to bury the dead, but I always like to notify the next of kin first. All right. Again, one more time, let's stand so we can go ahead and ask God to bless this group of people. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you, God, that you're always with us, God. You're always by our side. That you are willing to lead us and guide us. You never leave us. You never forsake us. I ask you right now, Father, to touch us in a very powerful way as we go into this new year. Help us understand that we have a very powerful enemy against us that does not want to see us move forward in faith, but would rather us stay back in doubt. And Father, I thank you, Lord, that you have given us and showed us a way that we can move forward in spite of all the obstacles, in spite of all the doubt that the enemy tries to throw our way. We can still move forward in a very powerful way, and we thank you for that. In the name of Jesus, we pray. The church said,
amen.
Look at somebody and tell them the past is behind us. The future is ahead of us. God is with us. And nothing shall be impossible. You can be seated. Now last week we started on KISS. Keep it simple, saints. Amen. And it's from surviving to thriving. You know, for the last few years, the world has mainly been surviving. And some of them haven't even been surviving. It's just been crazy. What's happened in the past few years. We can look back to 2019 and think about when 2020 came in. We said it was a year of clear vision. It was definitely a year of clear vision, but what we saw, I didn't like. How about y'all?
That's right.
But God used all that to uncover some stuff, to show us some stuff, to show some attitudes up above and some attitudes around that we have to be aware of and see. And it also actually, in some ways, released shackles. In other ways, it put shackles on us. And so, we've been, even the church world, for the last few years, has been in a survival mode. And in the survival mode, that's not a good place to be. I don't want to be a target. If I am going to be a target, it's going to be a moving target. Amen. And I don't want to be a loser. I want to be a winner. I want to be a winner for God. I want God to get all the glory for all of this. So how can we do this? How can we go from surviving to thriving? This is part two. Keep it simple, saints. Now, some of this first little bit may seem a little bit, I'll tell you when it's going to be, maybe a little bit sound redundant, but it's not. But this is all fresh off the press. God's guided. Don't say God's guided.
God's guided.
Amen. So now, again, keep it simple, saints. Now, as the second principle, the first principle, of course, was give God all. Don't give God what you don't have. Don't worry about what you don't have. Worry about what you do have, not what you cannot do, what you can do. Today is, refuse to give God your leftovers. Give your best. Now, this may have a few ouchies in it. But I promise. promise you that if you can get past the ouchie, God's going to do something special. He's going to do something very powerful. So, again, maybe a few ouchies, but you know what? A good sermon has, and when you're making up a sermon, there's got to be some ouchies in it, or it's not a good sermon. Amen. Y'all say amen.
Amen.
All right, here we go. Has anybody noticed all of this? Committed to Christ. I look at C2. I might think we'll get some bumper stickers. C2, committed to Christ. That is so awesome. But look, has anybody noticed how hard things have been lately? The supply chains, all this other stuff going on. Can't find people to work. You know, people are getting sick again. There's been a spike again in some COVID cases. The flu is going rampant. RSV is really, really bad. And you know, if you get RSV twice, it's called RSV the first time, it's called RSVP the second time. Okay, I'll get anywhere I can. All right, so challenge is the word of this season. This is the year of challenge, a year of there's all kinds of things, transition, a year of transition, but it's also a year of challenge because every transition comes with a challenge. If you don't face the challenge, you're not going to find a transition. Satan sends challenges our way to break us. And here's what he wants to break. He wants to break our commitment, our calling, and our concentration. Our commitment is towards God. Our commitment is our attentiveness to God and being alert to be what he wants us to be attentive to him, and I'm here, I'm sold out, you can trust me, God. Then our calling is God's response to us. Our calling is our assignment. And then our concentration is our focus or our attention on our commitment and on our calling. And I have noticed over the last few years that this seems to be where Satan really, really thrives at beating people down. Amen? So now, Satan sends these challenges to break us. Watch this though. Why does God let it happen? Because God allows those same challenges not to break us, but to build us. Amen? He allows us to be here to build our commitment, to build our calling, to build our concentration. He doesn't want us to have an empty victory or walk around with an empty promise. You know, you heard a little story about the guy who said, "Honey, I swim the greatest ocean. I climb the highest mountain. I would brave the worst cold to get to you. And I'll be there Friday night if it don't rain." Sometimes we do that with God. God, you count on me. Maybe. God, I thank you for my calling. I'll let you know when I'm ready to use it. God, I'm focused on you, but also, did you know Bonanza's on tonight? And they got my favorite episode. So I'll get back with you after Bonanza. Okay? So. In all of this, whether your challenges break you or build you, the final decision is always ours. Y'all say, always ours.
Always ours.
Always ours. Satan is determined to break you. God is determined to build you. You decide which way it goes. Not God, not Satan. You decide which way it goes. So watch this. What's the way I can tell which way we're leaning? I can tell you this as a pastor. I can tell you this as a fellow Christian. I can tell it in my own life. Be careful. Don't throw any fruit. If you do throw fruit, make sure it's not canned fruit. Make sure it's fresh produce. I can do something with that. I don't want to duck a can. Ready? How do we discover which way we're leaning? If it's breaking us or building us? If our commitment is getting stronger, our calling is intact, and we're concentrated on God? Here we go. Ready? What you giving God? Now, there's 3 areas that we give God. Our time, our talent, and our treasure. Our time, our talent, our treasure. If we're giving God our leftovers, then our commitment starts waning. We even start doubting God even called us, and our concentration gets broken. And this is some bad stuff. Because Satan, believe it or not, Satan's happy over this. He's winning the battle. So Just sit back. I'm not here writing names, taking names, anything. I'm not here to get you to raise your hand. I just want you to do an inventory of yourself right now. Just do it quickly. With nobody looking around. Just think about it. Are you giving God leftovers? Are you committed, or is your commitment waning? Are you stepping through with the calling? And the calling is not just a pulpit ministry. The calling is to be the best you can be for God. Well, my calling is, I'm going to tell you what your calling is. Your calling is to be the best you can be for God. Amen. And if you're the best you can be for God, it means God will do the necessary things through you to use you to bring more people into the kingdom. So now, are you giving leftovers? Is your commitment waning? Are you doubting that God's even going to use you? And is your concentration broken? What can I do if the answer is yes? I heard somebody ask me that. I know y'all don't know who asked me, but I'm not sure either, but I heard it very loud to me. You ready? Somebody say, ouchie. Ready? You ready? A good way to build versus break our commitment, our calling, and our concentration, listen carefully, it starts by refusing to give God our leftovers. A lot of marriages would thrive instead of die if they used the same stuff, that same the stuff they did to win each other over, and when they were first married, the love they had for each other, the commitment they had for each other, and the way they just couldn't do enough for each other, but as time goes by, they quit doing that, they're not so committed, they quit communicating, and so because they quit communicating, then all of a sudden, it just becomes just a flat thing, and some people just stay together, just so they can stay together, and not have to put up with the divorce, so others have to go through the divorce situation. And my question is the same way. If you and your wife, or you and your husband, or you and your children are having problems today, again, let me ask you, are you giving them leftovers? Because if you're giving them leftovers, I can tell you what's going to happen. I'm not talking about you cooked a chicken last night, that chicken was really, really good, you only ate half of it, you put the other half in the refrigerator, and you serve it next week. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about in your life. With your time, your talent, your treasure. Are you giving God your leftovers? Are you giving your spouse leftovers? Are you giving your boss man leftovers? I promise you, if you are, your life will start waning. Your calling will start waning. And your concentration will be broken. So start by refusing to give God leftovers. Because when you give God your best, you will start building and rebuilding your commitment, your calling, and your concentration. Matter of fact, if I find any of those moving down in my life, I have to stop and think about it. I'm allowing other things to get in my way, to get in my life, to get in my mind. And what I do is I shake myself and I say, God, help me to throw the leftovers out. And just help me to keep giving you fresh, fresh, fresh. Because your anointing and your mercies are fresh and new every day. Help what I respond by giving fresh back. Remember, His mercies are fresh and new every day. Make sure you give back to God fresh and new in response. Okay? So now, the Bible's full of this. Woo, get forgiven, son. Watch this. Always going to be a fighter pilot as close as I ever get. Ready? Alright, you ready? Are you giving God your best? God exhorts us to do all for the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10:31. He says, to work at whatever we do with all of our heart, Colossians 3:23. Do it all in the name of our Lord Jesus, Colossians 3:17. He says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, 2 Timothy 2:15. Run in such a way as to get the prize, not like someone running aimlessly. 1 Corinthians 9:24-27. God wants us to stay fresh. God wants us to give back fresh, because he gives us fresh, he expects us to give him back fresh, and when we do, it's amazing what will happen. So I'm going to give three examples. The first example is what we had last week. So that's what I'm talking about. That's the part from last week, but it's going to be given in a different way. All right? So let's just go ahead, and we'll talk about three different people and the way they responded to God. So first we're going to talk about the alabaster box, and we're going to put it separate so you don't even have to even look it up unless you want to. Mark 4, 1 through 9. It was now 2 days before Passover and the festival of unleavened bread. The leading priests and the teachers of religious law were still looking for an opportunity to capture Jesus secretly and kill him. But not during the Passover celebration, they agreed, or the people may riot. Meanwhile, Jesus was in Bethany at the house of Simon, a man who previously had leprosy. While he was eating, a woman came in with a beautiful alabaster jar of expensive perfume. This was a year's wages and made from essence of nard. She broke open the jar and poured the perfume over his head. Some of those at the table were indignant. Why waste such expensive perfume, they asked. It could have been sold for a year's wages and the money given to the poor. So they scolded her harshly. But Jesus replied, "Leave her alone. Why criticize her for doing such a good thing to me? You will always have the poor among you, and you can help them whenever you want, but you will not always have me. She has done what she could." Y'all say that. She has done what she could with what she had. Amen? And as anointed my body for burial ahead of time, I tell you the truth, wherever the good news is preached throughout the world, this woman's deed will be remembered and discussed. Let's just talk about her in just a second. Okay, we're talking about burying her alabaster box. Get ready. Here we go. She had a little. She had a whole lot. She had a little. So I'll just say one thing. Remember, the Bible says that he gives some fivefold, some threefold, some places it says twofold. And there was always that. I always remember the two biggies always think about is the fivefold and the onefold, which means that not everybody gets the same because not everybody's able to handle it. God knows what you can handle, and God gives it to you. So if you got the five, you better make sure you use that five. If you don't just say, "I'll just use this one this week and that one next week." No, be fresh and give God what you got. So now, she had little. She had one thing, but she focused on what she had versus what she didn't have. That's from last week. But look, she didn't hesitate to give him her best. So Jesus responded with his best and said, "From here on out, this deed is always going to be remembered and discussed." So, can you imagine Jesus in heaven watching down on every Christian church today? Mary's in heaven, and Jesus says, come here, I want you to hear this. I really need you to hear this today. Look at it talking about. How long ago was that you did that? Oh, 2,000 years ago. Did you hear it again this morning? Because wherever the gospel is preached, it's going to be told. Amen? Some of the things you do, later on, you may die and be gone for a long time, but whatever you do is going to be remembered because God's got this. Okay? So here we go. Alabaster box. Now, number two. I'm not going to keep you long. The widow's mite. This is a very powerful story. And again, not to try, I don't want to drag out anything today. The widow's mite. Now, Mark 12:41-44 says, "And Jesus sat over against the treasury, and behold, how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which shall be a farthing. And he called unto his disciples and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, this poor widow has cast in more than all." Y'all say than all. "That they which have cast into the treasury. For they all cast in out of their abundance." Y'all say they gave leftovers. Wow. They gave leftovers. But she gave all she had. She gave fresh. Let's look at another verse of that. Sitting across from the offering box, he was observing how the crowd tossed money in for the collection. Many of the rich were making large contributions. One poor widow came up and put in two small coins, a mite of 2 cents. hey, this worked out where my uncle put my 2 cents worth in. This is where it came from. I tell people all the time, you can't afford it, just stay out of it. I just said, I'm going to give you a piece of my mind. I said, I've seen your mind, you better keep that, okay? Jesus called his disciples over and said, the truth is that this poor widow gave more to the collection than all the others put together. All the others gave what they'll never miss. Wow. Y'all say leftovers.
Leftovers.
She gave extravagantly what she couldn't afford. She gave her all. Now's a wild woman. Y'all say it.
Wow.
Let's talk about the widow. Mary had a little. This one had very little. Let me tell you something. Two mites together was maybe worth a half a cent. It was the smallest copper coins in circulation. And according to the rabbinical law and the Levitical law and rabbi's law, all those together, put all that stuff together, it represented the smallest contribution lawful to make. Jesus said she gave more than all the others. Her attitude was greater than her actions. I see that negative sense a lot. Family members, people that I run in the street with, people I know, my friends, boy, do they have an attitude. In a negative way. But a lot of times they're all talk. You ever see anybody that's all talk? They're all talk. Their attitude's greater than their actions in a negative way, but her attitude was greater than her actions because all she had was 2 cents. That's it, 2 cents. But that 2 cents, her heart was, I'm not going to give God leftovers. I'm going to give fresh. And so what she did was greater than the actions of everybody else. You know, I like this verse. I love this verse. And I want to look it up. I want to give you some more versions of this verse. So let me look this up. Let me get this up here. Quick like. They hear me. I'm talking Southern again. I'm glad I'm talking to a Southern bunch of people. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And I start talking possum tracking sometimes. People don't know what I'm talking about. Let's see here. I had this all up where I could get to it. And guess what? You got zapped into cyberspace. Okay. Back them up one time. Here we go. Go back again. I can see it. There we go. There y'all say amen.
Amen.
Okay. But I say, he which soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully. Every man according to his purpose in his heart, so that he give not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. That word cheerful in the Greek is hilarious, which means hilarious. So that's really cheerful. You know, a lot of times when I give my offering to God, I'm not kidding. I'll go, and I know I'm having problems with something. I'm needing something in my life. Something's going on. I got a need. My car broke down or whatever, and I can still give to God. And what I do is I go, ha! And I throw it in. And I say, Satan, you thought because you gave me a problem because the car broke down, you thought that I was still going to give God my leftovers. But I got you to know one thing right now. I refuse to give God leftovers. And so when I throw it in, I go, ha! I know that God's greater than you. So, hilarious also means a state of heart. That you not only have a cheerful heart, but you want to bring joy. You want to touch somebody in a very powerful way. And that's what she did, the widow woman. You know, here it goes again. Let me do the message version. I want you to take plenty of time to think it over, make up your own mind what you're going to give. protect you against sob stories and arm twisting. God loves it when givers delight in giving. And finally, the Amplified Version. Let each one give as he has made up his own mind and purpose in his own heart, not reluctantly or sorrowfully or under compulsion. For God loves that he takes pleasure in and prizes above all other things, and is unwilling to abandon or do without a cheerful, joyous prompt to do it giver whose heart is in his giving. The happy people I know are people to give. Not just in the church, period. The people I see that are cheerful to give, they're always trying to help somebody, they are the most cheerful people. They don't necessarily have less problems than everybody else, but you see God moving in their problems quickly, and you also see something special about the person. You want to be around that person. You ever see somebody you don't want to be around? I know you. Don't look beside you. Do not look beside you now. Have you ever seen somebody you don't want to be around? Maybe you should try being the person that you like to be around and watch what happens. Wow. I've had wives come and tell me, my husband just ain't the man that I think he should be. And I said, well, are you the woman you should be? I had a man say, my mom told me I could do better. And I said, well, if you'd have been better, she would have done better if you'd have been better. You want a better spouse? You be a better spouse. You want something better? You be better. So now watch. One more. Y'all don't shout me down. Please don't shout me down. I'm really about to fall on my chair with them. All right, give me one more. David's powerful choice. I'm not going to go all into this because this is heavy. This is probably one of the heaviest stories in the Bible for David. I'm not going to go into all of it. I'm just going to say that there was a plague in Israel. Here's David with his plague. And he's trying to seek God to find a way to minister for his people. 70,000 people have died. I'm just going to read these verses and I'm going to talk about it, okay? 2 Samuel 2, 24, 25. And the king said unto Araunah, nay, but I will surely buy of thee for a price, neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord of that which cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. And David built there an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. So the Lord had treated the land and the plague was stayed from Israel. The message is just powerful, so, so powerful. And here it is. I'm going to put it there for y'all to see too. But the king said to Araunah, no, I've got to buy it from you for a good price. I'm not going to offer God, my God, sacrifices that are no sacrifice. Wow. Y'all say with no leftovers.
No leftovers.
I'm not going to offer my God sacrifices that are no sacrifice. So David bought the threshing floor and the ox, paying out 50 shekels of silver, and he put an altar to God there and sacrificed the burnt offerings and peace offerings. God was moved by the prayers, and that was the end of the plague. So now, let's talk about this. Mary had a little. The widow woman had very little. David had everything. He had everything but peace. Yeah, I think about Elvis. He had everything but peace. I think about Michael Jackson. He had everything. Everybody's a Scrooge. And Bob Cratchit, Ebenezer Scrooge had everything, but he didn't have peace. And Bob Cratchit had nothing, but he had peace. So watch this. David's kingdom had a problem. He goes to God, and God directs him to this threshing floor. And so I said this threshing floor, God says that he could have peace if he was all for a sacrifice. Watch this. Please watch this. It's very powerful. God named the place. He named the plan. But David named the price. Wow. You see, Arana said, you know what? I will give you the threshing floor. I will give you the oxen. I will break up the yokes of the oxen in order that you can offer burnt sacrifice. I'll give you everything you need to make this sacrifice unto God. I'll be like a king unto you, David. I'll give you whatever you need so that you can make this sacrifice to God. Sounds pretty cool, don't it? God says I need to make a sacrifice and you can give me everything. I ain't got to worry about it. Whatever God said I need, you got it, you see, you can give it to me. David said, no, not my God. He wanted me to sacrifice. Not you, me. He put the burden on David, not on Arunah. He put it on David. And so David said, I refuse to offer anything that costs me nothing. I will buy the threshing floor, I'll buy the oxen, I will buy the yokes, I will take care of the whole thing. It's taken care of. And when he refused to offer God that which cost him nothing, y'all say leftovers. When he refused to offer God leftovers, the plague stayed. Now I'm getting ready to close. If we can get this in our mind, get a mindset. I mean a mindset, not just in our mind, but a mindset. 2023, whether you're ready or not, is going to be a year of transition. Period. But you decide if it's going to be a good transition or a bad transition. You decide if you're going to flourish in God or not. Satan doesn't want you to. God desires it, but God's not going to make you. So watch this. I'm getting ready to close. Let me see. There's only 12 more pages. Let me see here. No, there's only one more. Ready? You ready? What does it mean to give God your best? What does it mean to refuse to give God leftovers? You know, I told you about this one time before. I was in Food Line, and I seen it again not long ago. And then I saw it in the parking lot. I stopped to get some stuff to bring to church. And when I stopped to the store to get some stuff, I watched. Well, let me tell you the first one. I'll tell you what happened then. But I was in Food Line, and there were some people shopping, and there I was standing right here, and they were man and wife were shopping right over here. And he reached up to pick up something and knocked over about three items that he hit the floor. His wife said, she was walking away, and she said, pick that up. And he said, they hire people to do stuff like that. And he walked off. I've discovered, especially at Christmas time, if you go to Walmart and the place is packed, you have to find the parking space is open. A lot of times the reason it's open is because people put their, instead of putting their shopping cart in the shopping cart holder, they left it right there where cars are trying to park. Because because they can't be bothered. And I'm not kidding, I watched it. They couldn't be bothered. Here's their car, here's an empty spot, and here's where they put the empty carts. And they took it, and they just pushed the car and took off. The other day, I'm walking in the parking lot trying to get to church, and I walk into the parking lot, somebody says, "Hey, Brother Lincoln, come here," and I come over there, and I'm talking. And as I'm talking to this person, who's an acquaintance, I see this big blue tarp going across the parking lot. Not big, but I say big enough to cover a cow. And his wife says, "You just let your tarp blow out." It was a cheap tarp, very cheap. And he said, "Oh, somebody'll get it." And he turned around and walked in the store. I refuse to give God my leftovers. Even in the parking lot at Walmart or at Food Line, I refuse to give God my leftovers. Matter of fact, when I go to Food Line or places, I try to at least try to cheer up some of those workers. And some of them look like they've been there a while, they're tired, and that other like. I had bought some water for my CPAP, and I put three bottles of water up there, and distilled water. And the young lady said, "Would you like your water in bags?" I said, "No, thank you. That's how you put them in bags." And I said, "No, I'd rather keep them in the bottle, because that's how you put them in the bag and leaked out of the bag before I got to the car." Yes, she got it. She got it. I said, "Wow, you got it." I refuse to give God my leftovers, not just at church, but wherever I am. Because leftovers, I don't know about you, but sometimes you get out and get that leftover and say, "Man, I'd love to get that. I can't wait to go and get that." And you open it up and find out you didn't still look good enough. And you sniff it and go, "Oh, that's not such a good leftover. I have to throw that thing away." When I get it fresh, wow, that's powerful. So what's it mean to give God your best? Ready? Quickly. Your best involves giving God your total being, the will and her might. The greatest commandment, love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Giving your best also involves giving God your first of everything. The alabaster box. Israel always was giving God, throughout the whole Bible, and God wanted it. Israel gave God, was always giving God their first fruits and the best of their flock. We serve the same God, still worthy of our first and worthy of the best of our time, our efforts, our resources, our time, our talent, our treasure. Your best involves giving God your most superior work, David. To give God a half-hearted, sloppy effort falls short of doing whatever you do. Do it for the glory of God. Get ready to close. Brandon, come on up here and play something softly, please. In order to give God our best, listen, we cannot afford to compartmentalize our lives. God time, me time, work time, family time. Well, God, I'll give you your time, but this is me time, or this is my work time, or this is my family time. God wants to be in your God time. Matter of fact, He wants God time to be your time, your work time, your family time. If you want to thrive in 2023, get that mindset. God wants all of our lives, at all times, in every way, must be seen as God time. And here's how I'm going to end it. Colossians 3:23, the Amplified Version. Whatever may be your task, whatever. Y'all say whatever.
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 Maybe your task. Work at it heartily from the soul as something done for the Lord and not for man. Everybody stand. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We definitely live in a year of challenge, there's no doubt about it. If you try to go by the wind of the stuff going around us and try to plot your path by the wind or trying to catch the draft, you ever ride behind a big truck on the freeway and you get that draft and all of a sudden you're in his pocket and you get better gas mileage and he's just pulling you along? Well, there's nothing that's going on around us that we can do that to, because everything changes every day, sometimes hourly. God wants us to stand out and be different, but the way we stand out and be different is we refuse to give leftovers. It touches God's heart. And we do like Mary in her alabaster box. Like the widow and her two mice. Like David, who said, I refuse to give a sacrifice unto God that's not a sacrifice to me. Wow. Every head bowed, every eye closed. First, let me ask, because there's somebody in here today that would say that I'm guilty. I've started waning. I'm not where I should be, not even close. I backed off, and I'm trying to blame everybody else and everything else, and you showed me today it's not everybody else. If you're here today, first off, and you want God to do something special in your life, you want to reconnect, you want to rededicate, you want to be something different this year with God, with nobody looking around, with your eyes closed, just put that hand up, I want things to be different. Alright, we're going to pray together. Before we do, you can raise your hand now, you don't have to, but are you guilty? Giving God your leftovers. I promise you, as long stuck in leftover mode, things are going to be a struggle. It's when you start doing fresh for God is when the flourish starts. Let's pray together. Father, I love you. I praise your name. I thank you that you love us so much that you remind us, you prompt us. You prick our heart in order for us to grow. I thank you, God, that you love me enough to let me know just how powerful giving fresh to you is. I ask you right now, Lord, to accept me. Help me to put away the leftovers. Start fresh. I thank you for it. I recommit my life. I recommit my heart. I recommit me to you, God. In the name of Jesus. And I thank you for this year. We're not here by accident.
We're not here by accident.
And I thank you, God. God is so awesome. So awesome. When I think about His mercies new and fresh every morning, wow. Fresh and new for Him every day. To satisfy Him. So now, let's say the Lord's Prayer. And then, we're going to get our newest deacon to dismiss us in prayer after we say the Lord's Prayer. Okay? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you.